My guest today is Dr. Shelley Simon. Shelley is from Portland, Oregon, and is a personal behavioral coach. That's what I'd call you. You've been in practice for a number of years. You have a doctorate in education, and Shelley has been my coach for a number of years. And so I decided that it's time to finally bring you out and share you with everybody, Shelley. I believe you worked with Greg Jack also and some other people that are in the business. There comes a point in what we're doing, Shelley, where we actually can only go so far without the behavioral skills that you're talking about. Let me explain. We have what we call the Zone 5 system, which involves a doctor getting on a bonus program. The keys to that bonus are as much that staff have no hope of pay increase as the fact that maybe it's a motivator. In other words, the fact there's no chance to get a raise by just continuing to do what you've always done. They've got to do more. They've got to produce more. They've got to be better. Well, that sets up a trap where the doctor, if he or she does not do their part to build the practice, the staff lose hope of ever getting a bonus and then will quit. And the doctor is saddled with massive staff turnover and retraining stress. From the staff standpoint, if they don't see the practice grow, they have no hope of ever getting a bigger paycheck. So they now have a reason to confront the doctor and say, "Doctor, from our standpoint, here's what we see needs to be done or not done." And the doctor then accepts that or doesn't. And that's, Shelley, where we're stuck. We get to this point. Finally, the staff have come forward. They've shared information that no consultant could have found because they're there day after day. A doctor will tell the consultant that everything's okay, and it's just this mystery. I don't know why I'm not growing. I have 2 referrals a month and 4 patients. I've been in practice 19 years, and I guess it's just that one place in the world where nothing works. And the staff come forward to me once they're on this bonus, and they say, "No, that's not true. He's running patients off in droves by saying too much or too little," and they have their story. And Shelley, we get to this point where we have put the doctor with the team. The team has, we call it the throwdown. The team has said, "Doctor, here's what it is, here's what you're doing, and it's killing us. Please help." And staff call us in despair saying it went right over his head. He argued. He blew up. He walked out. In other words, the whole dynamics. Yeah, they haven't got it.
Yeah.
You know, Shelley, years ago, the Beatles came on the scene. They're a famous rock group. You know, for kids hearing this, they wouldn't know who I'm talking about. But there came a point in their music as it developed. I don't know if it was their drug use or what, but it got so sophisticated that their drummer, Ringo Starr, couldn't keep up. They had to hire studio musicians to back him up. Well, I've kind of come to that point. Shelley, I've come to the point where I have to have a professional behavioral coach kind of pick up the ball here, because it was you who told me that there's a continuum of people's willingness to change. People far along that continuum are our superstars. Their staff tell them what to do, and they do it. But for the people down the line, life gets very painful and very repetitive. And I need you to help us move these doctors farther along that continuum, willingness to change.
You know, as you were speaking, I was reminded of many experiences I've had when I've worked with doctors whom I give a report to and tell them what I see. And what the staff or the spouses say to me after I've told the doctor my findings: "I've been telling this doctor that for so many years. Why are they listening to you?" It's funny. I started thinking that I would have to continue to raise my prices as a coach because there was some valuation that was associated with taking my feedback and taking the feedback of their staff or their spouse.
You're almost telling me that their position along that willingness to change continuum can almost be measured by what they're willing to pay.
And not, you know, that's a good point. I think that's part of it. But the other point is what they're willing to pay in terms of their commitment to either keeping things the way they are or to changing. If a person, you know, what we know from the change literature is that generally people change for 2 different reasons. One is the pain of remaining the same becomes so overwhelming.
Like not being able to pay your bills?
Worse than that. You know, because you can easily second mortgage your home now.
Right.
But I mean, it has to get so painful for some people to change. or something has to become so compelling or exciting that you want to be different, that you're willing to do whatever it takes to be different. So that commitment piece on the part of the doctor, whether the doctor makes a decision based on, I can no longer tolerate living the limited existence that I have, or I want to be more, I want to serve more, I want to be happy, I am ready to do what it takes. My experience is, until a doctor is ready to realize that they are fully responsible for their success or their effectiveness or lack of success or effectiveness, there will truly be no real change. So when you get feedback, I mean, Greg, when someone gives you feedback, there's certain kinds of feedback that's irrefutable. And the best way to give feedback, and I'm certain that your team leaders do this, is they're very specific about data. They bring evidence to the table. It's not an emotion. Oh, you're so bad with patients, or you go
you
crazy, or you
this.
Always do this. Yeah. Oh, black and white thinking, you know, all or, you know, nothing.
Very easy to invalidate.
Very easy, you know, and it's the commonly what happens with that is you resist because it's so invalidating. So the successful way, of course, is to bring evidence to the table. Yesterday, with patient X, the following actions occurred. It's not about the feeling that I had as an observer when you were speaking to patient X, but it's what you actually said and did. And still, you know that doctors will say, I did not do that.
Well, if you can really build a good case, you've got five or six patient names, exactly what the patient said, and the doctor doesn't suspect that the witness was led by, you know, in other words,
right.
that they weren't coached to say this, that's when we get our reaction. That's when the doctor either blows up, goes internal, gets really depressed, walks out, fires everybody. In other words, something that's just desperate.
So what I call that is a blind spot. And on blind spot, it's just something that you're not aware of, or you may be aware of, but you don't want to be aware of. The problem is everyone else can see it.
Well, also it's in your numbers, you know, like you don't have any referrals, your practice isn't growing or something.
And how a person is with their blind spots, how attached they are to maintaining their denial or their avoidance of some aspect of who they are, how attached they are to maintaining it will determine how violently they react to feedback.
Shelley, let me give you an example and tell me what you would suggest, okay? We have a doctor that has had the last three staff they've hired for the front desk. They spent 6 months training each one of them, and they quit. Now, that was 5 years ago. No, maybe there was five or six of them in that period of time. And now they have what we call a specific neurosis. In other words, they're afraid to hire somebody and invest that time and money. So what they do is they go through the motions. They'll put ads in the paper. They may even interview people, but they never will hire because they're really afraid to repeat this experience. So we've taught staff to spot these specific neurosis and bring it to the doctor. That's when the problem comes up. The doctor denies it or says, or uses really what's been working for him up to then. Oh, I'll get on it.
Right,
in other words,
exactly.
They're going to procrastinate it even further. What would you do if you were that staff person with all of the information and change experience you've had? How would you deal with that?
First off, the critical piece is the doctor has to be committed. Therefore, the doctor has to have an agreement with the staff that they are going to listen to them.
Okay, without that agreement then, we don't have anything.
Nothing.
Even you couldn't work with them.
Absolutely not. And right now, in terms of the clients that I'm taking on, I'm not willing to take on someone who isn't ready and willing to really look at themselves, because change only can occur from inside.
All right, but people, Shelley, people that are ready to change, we'd all like to work with them. What can you say today to help the people that they know they have a problem, but they're just not ready to... Are you saying...
Okay, yeah. Okay, so here's the thing. Blind spots. if you have a blind spot uncovered, something that you don't see about yourself or that you don't want to know, or
now
you
it's been
don't,
spotlighted.
Right, it's okay. spotlighted. Okay. How are you going to see that? Are you going to see that as, oh, my life is ruined now, I'm an awful person, or the opposite, which is it's false? You know, you're going to have one reaction. You're either going to be absolutely deflated or you're going to deny it because you're afraid of being deflated. The truth is, when you have a blind spot that is uncovered, you have the potential for new options. You can see something differently, you can understand something differently, and therefore you can take new actions that would be more effective. Is the pain of recovering from seeing something that you didn't like and then being able to have more options for new behaviors that are more effective, is that more painful than every day experiencing the dread, hopelessness, anger, irritation, frustration of what your life is like when you don't get to live your dream? My experience is people do fight their blind spots because none of us, particularly, we're professionals. We're the authority. We're supposed to be perfect. You're going to tell me I'm not? I'm going to resist that. But in truth, what I'm doing when I resist it is I'm blocking my growth. I'm blocking the growth of the people around me.
Shelley, we tell our staff and our team leaders to build a case with specific names of patients and times and quotes and so forth of something a doctor's doing too much of or too little of, et cetera. The doctors, we warn our team leaders that the doctors will likely be upset, negative, angry, kind of in that payback mode for several weeks afterwards as this adjustment takes place. Do you believe that's necessary? Is there a way you can soften that? Because I can see why the doctors don't like it. We're condensing 10 years of personal human development into 2 weeks, and it's unpleasant. Is there any way short of that negative throwdown?
Well, there's two aspects here. It would be we would have to open this up relative to the experience of the doctor and relative to the experience of the person, the staff person who is bringing this news to the doctor, because there's a stance and effective behavior for both.
Okay. Let's take both.
So which would you like to do first?
Let's start with the staff's viewpoint.
Okay. So for the staff who's coming with quote-unquote bad news, exposing someone's attachment to seeing themselves in a particular way. No, doctor, it's like this. It's not what you think.
Right.
For the staff to do that, the staff has to have skills that relate to their own self-awareness and ability to manage themselves. Like, when the doctor, in response, either gets negative or personalizes something or throws it back at the staff, how the staff responds is critical. If the staff personalizes it and gets really angry or upset, and they do with that whatever they do with it, they either withdraw or they get indignant, or, you know, there's a number of millions of ways that people will respond, but it's not effective. The staff has to be centered and grounded enough in their values and in their intentionality relative to the role that they're taking in that office to let the doctor's resistance to hearing what they're saying go through them with compassion, because this is a learning opportunity for this doctor.
So they have to care enough about their doctor. Kind of like a doctor has to care enough about their patients to sometimes take a beating from their patients.
Right.
So they have to care enough about their doctor, their team members, and their office to risk a beating, an emotional, verbal, you know, workover, to bring this blind spot to the doctor's awareness.
Now, I certainly do not support anyone beating anyone up emotionally, but sometimes it happens. You know, advertently or inadvertently.
Now, we're just talking about it from the staff standpoint. Now, we haven't got to the doctor trying to control that response.
Okay. So with the staff's ability to almost predict that the doctor is going to resist, If the doctor goes into major resistance,
which could be anything from silent treatment, deep depression, to anger and throwing things, the whole range.
Right. Silence or violence.
Okay.
The staff has to have the presence to understand that the conditions of safety that would make it safe for the doctor to actually absorb that they're not wrong. It's just that there's another way for them to be that would be more effective for them to meet their goals. There are conditions of safety that have to be reestablished.
What's it, for example?
Well, for example, when you feel that someone is really resistant or fighting with you, you have to realize they're in the jungle. They're fighting for their life. They're in a fight or flight reaction. Their blood pressure is elevated. This is not, you know, a very sane person at this point. They're self-protective. So what you do is you have to have the right timing, number one. If you're doing this in between patients, that's not going to work. I mean, you have to have created conditions.
A safe environment.
That's safe. Secondly, you have to appreciate the doctor as a human being and as an expert, and you have to afford that kind of respect to the person. So it's not that you're saying this is a bad person. You're connected to this person because you value them. You are only going to examine a behavior or an action. You're not making them wrong. You're looking at their behavior. You're with them. You're their best supporter. When a person gets really resistant, one of the ways to reestablish safety is to seek to understand rather than to be understood. So for the staff who's trying to be understood, they're trying to make their case. Like, doctor, you're doing this and you're doing that and you're not doing this and you're not doing that. And the doctor resists. At that point, continuing to move forward and saying the same thing over is only going to cause more resistance from the doctor. So at that point, understanding.
So let the doctor go ahead and make their case.
Right.
Let them get it out, and don't
exactly.
see that as defeat.
It's not defeat, and don't personalize it. Even if they start saying things that could be seen as being personalized, it doesn't have to do with
one of the most common responses the doctors will say, after all I've done for you.
Right.
I took you to Cancun.
Right. It has nothing. See, in that case, what the staff has to realize is that they are the doctor's best friend in that moment. They are saying to the doctor what no one else will tell the doctor, which is, you are great, and look at this action you're doing. It doesn't really suit you, you know? And if someone does not feel, if you're trying to tell me, Greg, that I'm not doing something right, and I don't feel, one, that you care for me, that you truly respect me, and that you're in it with me, and that you're not going to run away if I don't agree with you, then I'm not, why bother?
You've actually created for me here three continuums now that I can imagine working together. One is the doctor's willingness to change.
Right.
Okay. The other is the staff's skill set in bringing this to the doctor's awareness. The third one is the staff's ability to take a punch, a verbal, emotional punch. Because on this continuum, let's say the doctor's very low on that readiness to change scale. Well, we're going to have staff with greater skills. Would you agree?
I agree.
Okay, but let's say we don't have them.
Uh-huh.
And now all we have left is the staff that can go ahead, throw it down, let the doctor act out his or her worst self. But because they can take a punch, that's one of the things they're good at, they outlast the doctor who goes through that painful metamorphosis and changes. And you know, Shelley, from my experience, the doctor that is the bad profile, low readiness to change, staff without the skills that you talked about to gracefully bring this about and can't take a punch, is the stuck, hopeless forever doctor. I mean, it's never going to change.
And their staff will leave.
Yeah.
And I don't recommend that staff take abuse.
No, I understand. But so what we have then is, if we don't have staff with these skills and staff that can take that verbal punch, All that's left is for the doctor to live through their repetitive rumination nightmare over and over,
Absolutely.
Year after year, same statistics, only with insurance going down,
it's
numbers going
worse.
Yeah, it's going worse. And so this finally conditions the doctor so that his or her readiness to change finally has to be addressed.
So just to review the staff person, because then we'll get
right.
on to the doctor
okay.
and their role in all of this, is the stance or the skills of the helper, the team, in defending and moving on the doctor's vision. I mean, grounded in the values that would move the vision of the office along, is they have to be able to recognize their own reactions. So if I'm stressed or I am getting anxious or annoyed or irritated at the doctor, how is acting out of that irritation going to advance the situation? It's not. So I have to learn my own behavioral responses so that I can shift into a more helpful place, which is seeking first to understand the doctor or the patient, secondarily to be understood by someone, learning to not personalize when the doctor acts out, being able to tolerate confrontation, and once again, creating conditions of safety. So just to review, what would be conditions of safety so that you could tell me something I don't want to hear? Oops. One, I have to believe that you're not judging me,
right.
that you accept me, that you want the best for me, that we're in this together with a mutual purpose, and I trust you, and you're connected to me.
You know, Shelley, it almost seems like staff have their own willingness to change continuum that they're on.
And so, 100%.
So they live with their doctor's blind spot so long that they either change offices or pick up some of the skills you're talking about and finally override their doctor.
Right. So for the office, for the doctor, for the staff who really want to go beyond where they've been, there's three really clear factors that are involved here.
And we're talking about for the doctor now.
Actually for the whole unit, for the team to change. The first is to assess the degree of blindedness of the doctor and of the staff.
Okay, does the doctor acknowledge that there's a problem?
Right. There's an evident gap between what you say you want and what you're doing. And we talked about presenting evidence.
To me, it's really a breakthrough if the doctor really owns it and really says, yeah, you're right. Maybe they can't fix it, but at least they own it.
Right. So there's this degree of how attached the doctor is, you know, because it's different strategies. Someone who's simply willing to become aware versus, you know, on your readiness to change versus someone who's really dug in and entrenched. It takes a different kind of action. So the second piece is the skill of the staff who is going to confront and deal
right.
with the doctor. The third piece, which is critical, is that the doctor must be ready and committed. And what this means is they must absolutely have an agreement and a commitment with the staff that empowers the staff to hold them accountable. It has to be the bottom line agreement. Then the staff has to be skillful.
Now, sometimes a doctor will tell me, well, my staff are rabble. I'm not going to make myself accountable to them. That's when I always say, well, go get some that you would be accountable to.
Right. If that's an excuse. That's another blind spot.
Okay. Well, I do have some staff that are rabble, Michelle.
You know, there are times,
in other words,
too,
the doctor isn't always wrong, unfortunately. It's always his fault or her fault, but they're not always wrong.
Well, that's true about all of us, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, great. Okay, Shelley, are we pretty clear on this now? We've got a good change model here?
Well, we have a good change model. What we have not talked about is the responsibility of the doctor
right.
relative to growing past their blind spots and the techniques, technologies, methodologies that the doctor will be required to grow in. And in my experience, the only way that you learn these is by working with someone who you give some power to help you learn, you know, to,
right.
where you're teachable, essentially. And so I think that's where a good coach comes in, someone who can help you to transform blind spots into new perspectives, new options.
Shelley, let me ask you a question. When you do that with someone, be honest with me, how long do you wait before you lower the boom on them?
You're so graphic.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. Well, I've handed off some of my clients to you. And Shelley, I'll tell you honestly why I do that. It's because I have made an agreement with them and they haven't followed it. In other words, the agreement was they were going to do what I said or what the team, you know, felt, and that they would work on their report card, and they haven't. And that's when I either have to walk away, or we, you know, when we're fortunate, when they're fortunate, we can get them to you. You know, how do you work with people that won't make an agreement? I mean, they haven't followed an agreement with me. What makes them think it's going to work with you?
I'm very explicit about what I expect.
Okay.
And what is involved in being in relationship relative to someone's growth.
Could you see the value of what we do in that process? In other words, we've set up the trap where the staff have to come forward and the doctor has to be confronted and so forth. And we've made the rules, and they haven't followed them. We've already been through that. I can see that being a benefit for you.
It is a benefit for me. It's like the patient who has gone everywhere, and then they end up in your office.
Exactly.
And they're willing to trust you at a certain level because they've tried everything else. Some of my best clients have done 4 or 5 different practice management companies. And it's not that they didn't learn or things worked.
Oh,
they
no,
did.
That's great because you can isolate a lot of variables.
Exactly.
It's all that's left is
the doctor.
It's like he or she is at the scene of every crime. You know, they're the one
or success, right?
They're the one suspect in this thing.
Exactly. It's
like a criminal investigation to me. I mean, we get the evidence, we get testimony, we get witnesses.
So as I was growing up, one of my favorite books was Nancy Drew.
Okay.
So maybe that makes me Nancy Drew.
Well, you're like a serial killer profiler or something. I mean, when the rest of us can't crack the case, Shelley picks it up. So great, Shelley. And I know you work with a wider range, and I'd like to talk about what you do here in just a second. But I would take it from what we've covered here so far and from what I know of you, you're not really heavy into the procedural end. It really is a behavioral experience for you and your clients.
It is about someone becoming more self-aware and managing themselves so that they can lead their practice and have a transformed life.
How does your program work?
It's one-on-one, and it may involve team members, but basically it's about assessing where you are, not so much relative to all of the conditions that you feel exist around you, but really what's up for you? What do you not see? What needs to be uncovered?
Who's not a prospect for you, Shelley?
The person who's not willing to look into themselves.
Okay.
I'm really interested in working with
now,
people.
You realize that term, looking into yourselves, there's people that would call that psychobabble.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? In other words,
yes.
Give me some terminology that...
That's not psychobabble?
Please.
Okay. Let me dig deep. Okay. So what that would mean is I am willing to look at my actions and take responsibility for my actions. So
you're not going to work with anybody at the denial level. It's going to be it's going to start...
No, actually, we all human beings are going to deny. You deny, I deny... The doctor will deny. It's a question of how open we are to moving past our denials. When you're ready to give up your denial to make a change, to have more in your life.
You know, Shelley, the old saying that when you do the same thing over and over and expect a different outcome, you know, there's really something.
It's insanity.
Yeah, there's something
Lily
wrong
Tomlin,
with you.
Lily Tomlin, right.
Exactly. I would hope that the doctor wouldn't reach you personally in a coaching relationship until they had been around that track enough times to quit believing that a new marketing gimmick,
exactly.
a new script, a new something is going to change everything. Otherwise, I could see people not being fully invested in your process.
I absolutely support that assessment.
Shelley, how do people work with you? What if somebody wanted to call you, how would they reach you? Would you have a website? What do you do?
Well, I do have a website, and I do am still connected to phones.
Okay.
So would you like me to?
Please, yes. Give us a phone number.
So my phone number is in Oregon. It's 503-504-5585. And my website is www.beyondpracticemanagement.com. And then you can find a link there directly to me.
So you help people one-on-one. You realize that there are thousands of people hearing this recording right now. So, Shelley, good luck with that. Hopefully, we laid out a criteria. Hopefully, and I believe we did, that you shared things that would help every listener. But the people that would want to work with you are people that meet that criteria that we talked about.
Absolutely. Those are the people who I'm ready for.
That's the rule. Shelley, thanks for being with us today.
It was my pleasure, Greg.